We're in Kuban, southern Russia, which isn't just famous for its rich agriculture, it's also the stomping ground of the Cossacks. And these horse-mounted warriors haven't been relegated to the history books, far from it. So saddle up and let's find out what it means to be a Cossack in the 21st century. Viktor Gavrilovich, I've been fortunate enough to hear the Kuban Cossack choir perform, and the precision and power with which they perform, it just blows your socks off. So can anyone perform in a Cossack choir, or do you have to be a Cossack?
You don't have to be a Cossack. What you need is a good musical ear and a sense of rhythm. You also need to be tall enough and know the language. These things are a must, but being a Cossack isn't.
We must need to know Cossack culture.
Yes, you do. And it's a good idea to go to a rehearsal first.
To what extent would you say that the Kuban Cossack choir represents the Cossack society as a whole? You have many individuals, but their strength is in their unity.
Kudos, Peter. You hit the nail on the head. It's a very complex concept, and you got it right. Well done. Yes, you could say that. This big choir, it's like a wall, a single body with many voices.
So there must be a deep mutual understanding between the choir and yourself.
Absolutely. We're one living organism, one whole. Now look, art can elevate you, deliver you towards holiness or another lofty status. And that's what a choir should do. Raise our hearts towards heaven and God.
Is this why you pray before each rehearsal?
Of course. We always pray before a rehearsal. Music is something more.
If you had to choose one song that would sum up what it's like to be a Cossack perfectly and leave it for future generations, which one would it be?
A great question. Each song has its own purpose and significance. I've recorded folk songs, some of them sung by my mother. When I was still a student at the conservatoire, I recorded a song she sang called A Spiritual Poem. The song goes like this. A poor little bird sits in a cage, pecking at seeds and so on. Then it continues. When I fly far away, I'll see the radiant paradise. In that shining paradise, candles burn. The righteous souls pray to God, and there I will behold Jesus Christ. If I had to choose just one song, this would be the one. Of course, I would choose Mother's Song, because it's in my blood, in my very genes. Чудное приволье вижу нивы и поля. Ах, это русское раздолье, это русская земля.
Дарья, tell me about this fantastic dress that you're wearing.
I'm wearing a festive Kuban dress. Just as our region is rich in bright colors, tastes, and history, this flamboyant dress is also a representation of Kuban. Mm-hmm. It consists of an embroidered short, a body-contoured waistcoat, a ruffled skirt. The more truffle it has, the higher the wearer's status. An underskirt and an apron embroidered with Kuban plants. By the way, the embroidery has magic significance for our ancestors, a charm against evil spirits. Mm. Girls would wear aprons with flower motifs to indicate their unmarried status.
Okay.
And necklaces and jewelry, of course, to signal the status of a Cossack woman.
Wow, well, it looks absolutely stunning. So the predominant colors of your dress seem to be red, green, and yellow. Why is that?
Red, yellow, and green were traditional festive colors for Kazakhs.
Mm-hmm. Is it true that you can tell which village a Cossack woman is from just by looking at her outfit?
Yes, it's true. You can tell what village she was from, to which family she belongs. You know quite a lot just by looking at a Cossack woman.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether she's married or not, etc.
Can you also tell where a Cossack man is from by his outfit?
You can tell his status and his age by looking at his outfit. You also know if he was the eldest, youngest, or middle son.
I've also read that Cossack women's outfits used to contain fabrics from all over the world. Silk from China, shawls from Iran, even wool from England. How did Cossacks get these materials?
Kuban was a bustling maritime trade hub. Ships brought silk, cotton, and linen clothes.
At a time when traditions are at risk of fading into folklore, we sit down with Vladimir Gromov, a respected historian and Cossack elder, to explore the spirit of the Kuban Cossacks, which is very much alive today.
Cossacks are known for their love of freedom, but they also have a deep respect for the land and tradition. How do you reconcile these two forces?
You know, when Cossacks emerged as an ethnic group, a process that went on for a long time, it was free people who formed the core of Cossackdom. The Cossack mentality was the mentality of free people, which they set a lot of store by. There was no serfdom on Cossack lands. They were all free. Certainly, their love of freedom has manifested itself throughout Cossack history, sometimes much to the annoyance of the central government. There's another trait. Cossack communities were self-governed, with no interference from the state. There are people capable of self-governance. That's why Cossack troops emerged. Cossacks always prioritized principles and a code of conduct and honor. Why did they never hesitate to take on a much more numerous enemy? Because they were deeply religious. And if you're a believer, you count on God's help in battle. If you lose, your death will be for your faith and your motherland. The Cossacks have always shared that attitude. Another key tenet in the Cossack code of honor is willingness to die to save your comrade. If you give your word, you must fulfill your promise. You can't just chat idly, promising this and that, and then forget all about it. No way. When I was a young boy, I was brought up not just by my parents, but by our neighbors too, the people of the village. Everyone watched my behavior. If I did anything bad, it was reported to my parents or my grandmother, and I got in trouble. That's how that psychological attitude was formed.
Following on from that, what does honor mean to a Cossack?
We live in the Caucasus, where keeping our word, showing respect for your neighbors and traditional culture, and the desire to preserve our heritage and pass it on to future generations lie at the very heart of what it means to be Cossack. We want the Cossacks to endure. The Maya people once existed, didn't they? They did. Their culture remains, but the people themselves are gone. We want the Cossacks not just to have existed, but to live today and forever. That's the essence of it. Traditional culture lives on in villages, in the countryside. It fades in the cities, because the environment there is different. The cultural atmosphere is different, and holidays, customs, everything becomes diluted. As someone very wise once said, I can't recall who, when a person does not carry at least some part of their traditional culture, they are like an empty vessel that can be filled with anything at all. The task of the Cossacks is to ensure that this vessel, our children and grandchildren, is filled with traditional culture, not in the way a student recites answers in culture class, turns away, and waits for a grade. No, culture must become part of a person's spiritual world.
There must be hundreds, thousands of stories about Cossacks. Could you pick one that would help me, a layman from Manchester, understand what it means to truly be a Cossack?
Being a Cossack means having a Cossack mindset and being, at least to some degree, like our grandfathers and great-grandfathers, in terms of how you treat your family, how you treat others, your motherland, your neighbors, and so on. It means a sense of duty and honor. A Cossack is reliable. He won't let you down. He can't be wishy-washy. Cossacks are men of duty and honor.
Tell me about Cossack women. Apart from being companions in life and even on the battlefield, what roles in the community do they fill as well?
There's this stereotype about Cossack women playing an inferior role in our families. It's not true. Women have always had a prominent position in the family. They bring up children until three. After that, men take over. The woman is in charge of the household economy. Just imagine, before the revolution, Cossack men served for 4 years while their wives held the fort, doing all the household work. Then they'd be given leave for 4 years so they could spend some time at home, have children, and help with running the household, followed by another tour of duty. And the wives would once again take over as head of the family. My grandmother, God rest her soul, became a widow at 39 with 8 children. My father was 3 at the time. That Cossack woman moved to new lands, started a new homestead where I grew up. Can you imagine? They spent their first winter in dugouts. No washing machines, no running water, no amenities, nothing. What could she count on? God's mercy and her neighbor's help. Cossacks are very friendly and always ready to help each other. My grandma never went to school but managed to raise a huge family. And there are countless examples. A woman is the support for her husband. She's strength. Without a woman, how can a man go on? I too have my support, my guardian angel. So women have always played a vital role in Cossack life. And it's women who preserve both traditional Christian faith and traditional culture.
Прийте, хлопці, повітай, дайте спочивач, а я піду за цілий, за криніченьку капать Марусе.
Svetlana, thank you so much for that spectacular performance you put on. My heart was in my mouth when you were performing some of those stunts. Now, is trick riding, is it just a crowd pleaser, or does it have some practical purpose as well?
Yes, it's more of a crowd pleaser. It used to have a very practical purpose at the times of the Cossack cavalry. Mm-hmm. They trained from a very early age to excel in battle later and performed all these tricks at a different speed. It helped them be more effective fighters. These days, it's all about your technique.
Yeah.
Horses are now used for entirely different purposes, just to ride for fun and perfect your horsemanship. Our job is to make spectators happy.
Now, you must place a heck of a lot of trust in your horse. I saw you standing on him, hanging off the side. Tell me a bit about the relationship, the bond between a Cossack and their steed.
You must find a way to build trust with every animal. Each horse is like a human in that it has its own character and upbringing. It moves differently from others, so it may allow you to perform certain tricks but not others because it'll get upset. Some horses, however, are ready for anything. Others are more sensitive and delicate, so they're suitable for a limited number of routines. I do have a bond with one. I've been working with him for 6 years and he lets me do my tricks. But he'd act differently with a male rider. He knows me. He trusts me. Treats go a long way towards building a relationship. Sometimes I may have to discipline him. It's all part of a horse's education. Yeah. If there's no stick, there can't be carrots. Mostly we don't punish them, of course, but they do get naughty at times. Right now, though, he's on his best behavior.
Yeah, yeah, he's calmed down a lot now. Успокоился он.
Yes, but sometimes they bite.
And where do you even begin to learn trick riding? And how long does it take to master even some of the basic stunts?
Sure. It all depends on the person. If you're physically prepared, if you have an athletic background, it'll be easier for you. Especially if you're a gymnast or an acrobat, you might be able to master it in a month or two. It depends on the person, again. Some people are afraid of performing certain tricks, while others take everything in their stride. In the latter case, you can learn the basic routines within a month. There are some pretty fearless girls training right now. Someone like that can be prepared for a performance within a couple of months.
Amazing. I think it would take me a lot longer.
About 3 months. If you don't do any sports, it might take you 3 months to master some basic elements. More complex stuff would take a year or more, of course.
So which are the most dangerous tricks to perform when it comes to jigitovka?
If you talk about individual tricks when you're performing alone, I'd say it's climbing under the horse's belly and climbing around the horse's neck.
Wow. All the way around.
Yes, not every horse will allow you to do that. For example, this horse here won't let you. Also, during the stunt, the horse might begin a fast gallop so that it doesn't hit the rider. Talking about group routines, the hardest one would be the pyramid. That's when you have a three-tier pyramid of people. Here, the challenge is not only to make sure the horses stay close enough to each other, but also so that everyone can stand straight and hold me up, and that I, at the top, don't shake the pyramid.
Oh my God, yeah, I'm getting scared even thinking about that.
Yes, it's a long drop if I were to fall. The whole tower would crumble if they dropped me.
Talking of which, have you ever had any incidents where things didn't quite go to plan, Sveta?
Every profession has such incidents. It happens. Sometimes you have young horses that don't fully trust the rider or don't let you perform a certain stunt. This happened to me once. I tried to turn around on the track and the horse didn't let me, and we fell. Another time my rein snapped.
Hello.
And it's very hard to stop the horse afterwards.
Hello. Moving on to the saber now. Why do they call flanking with a saber a dance?
It's a beautiful dance with a weapon. It can be a very dangerous sport because the sabers are sharp, but it's also great exercise. Our arms and hands perform complex movements, showcasing great brain coordination. It's not just waving a saber around.
Of course.
Don't stop that. Tired? You're tired. Let's go.
Is that a busy morning?
Yes. Yes. People love showcase performances, especially group routines. And if you have a girl dancing with sabers, they go crazy. Especially if she's wearing a nice dress.
It's quite a sight to behold. And how does it make you feel, both physically and mentally, when you're holding this saber and waving it around the way you do?
Coordination is key. You can injure yourself with a sharp saber. It's a dangerous implement. There have been incidents where people impaled themselves while switching hands. All kinds of things can happen. You need years of training to make sure something like that won't happen. Or use a blunt saber for your dance, if it doesn't include slicing. It is safer. I think blunt sabers are more suitable for flanking.
Yeah. Well, as you've just said, Sveta, I guess you learn to be very precise very quickly with the saber. What skills do you learn flanking that you think you could apply to other areas of life?
It's mainly concentration, focus, and secondly, discipline, precision. Training your memory to remember tasks, dance sequences, etc. It's not just a dance, it's a choreographed performance. After you master one element, you go on to a more complicated one, and so on. When you combine them all together, you end up with a very beautiful dance.
It certainly does.
Concentration is the main thing, because you may hurt yourself.
From the saber now to the arabnik. Is the Cossack arabnik, is it simply a whip?
It's a hunting whip. a long one, reaching 3 to 5 or sometimes even 6 meters in length. It's not your regular horse whip that can be 1.5 meters long. A nagaika is also shorter. Bear in mind that the arapnik, like the saber, was invented to get at the enemy, only from a greater distance. It was then adopted in animal husbandry to drive cattle, to train horses, and now it's used extensively in circus performances.
They say that a decent arapnik can make a sound like a rifle. How does it do it, and is it difficult?
No, it's not hard to do. You just have to practice a few times. An arapnik is basically a braid that's thicker at the handle and gets narrower towards the end. The narrow tip is what produces that sharp crack, which sounds like a gunshot.
Not every woman, or man for that matter, can stand on a horse and wave a saber around. Are Cossack women just built differently?
Well, what can I say? I get your question, and I agree that a woman is, first and foremost, the lady of the house. But times have changed. We're moving forward, and I don't see anything wrong with the girl slicing stuff with a saber, cracking an arapnik, or riding a horse. Back in the day, when our men went to war and there was nobody left to defend the village, our women armed themselves with sabers, lances, axes, whatever they could get.
Mm-hmm.
It all depends on the person. I think it's normal in this day and age. Go girls!
Being a Cossack means loving your motherland and treasuring the history of our great country.
It's about honor and dignity.
It means serving as a reminder of who our ancestors were and what price they had to pay for our privilege to live on our glorious Kuban land today.
Сонце низенько, вечір близенько, спішу до тебе, моє серденько. Вставай, милая, довольно спати.
Вставай, милая, довольно спати. Як ми гуляли, будем гуляти. Вставай, милая. Як ми гуляли, будемо.